All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. Something we've said before on the show is that everything is kind of difficult and inscrutable, like before you know it. You
Yes.
know, like if you don't understand something, it is in like a pile as like the not understood. And then,
Yeah.
you know, once you get so, and this extends to languages.
Of course.
Of course, you know, like, you know, it's people will be like, oh, like moon language and stuff. And that's a kind of shitty racist thing to say, but what it's based in is just that like a language is a fundamental form of understanding, and if you don't have it, you are on the other side. With that in
Yes.
mind, I imagine you do not know French.
I am no, yeah, I really don't. I would probably be able to recognize some root words, but if I had listened to a native speaker, no dice.
So I'm going to take some of the things that commonly appear in video games, like kind of you know, video game tropes, things like that. I'm going to feed them in this into this English to French dictionary and see if the result gives us a game.
Okay. Obviously some kind of prophecy.
Yep. Okay, so
Yeah.
let me prophecy. And then I don't know, like it feels like we've been complaining about it on Watch Out for Fireballs and stuff recently. Like I'm pretty sick of games that are about the earth and like saving the
Yeah.
earth and the earth spirit, and I don't care about that anymore. So let's put okay, prophecy of, and let's put the earth here.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. And let me go ahead and click on the button. And we have the French word for prophecy,
Légende.
the légende, and then the French word for of, which I, and then the Gaia or lug. The guy, La Gaia.
Yeah, which is Spanish for the Gaia.
Yeah. Or French.
Yeah.
Cole. Don't no sell me this late into
No,
it.
I was doing a Chris Farley thing when he was
Oh,
El
gotcha.
Nino.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize it was a SNL
It
poll from 1993. I should have
wasn't.
known.
You gotta be on your guard for that around me.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds kind of familiar. So Legend of Legaia. Hey, that's a game that's coming up on the game computer.
It is a game.
Hey.
Yeah. A weird game to do for this show because the half hour is not very representative of it.
No, not at all.
But we can get into it. You know, not fuck, but also, you know.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Butterfield,
I'm Cole Ross.
and you're listening to Abject Suffering, the home of the Monte Cristo burger. And this week we're talking about Legend of Legaia.
Be sure to pay the extra dollar for the bottomless slaw.
I like the idea of bottomless slaw.
Bottomless
Just
slaw, all
bottomless
the
slaw.
slaw you want.
Yeah. How much slaw you want?
I don't know, like in a small bowl, it's fine. Actually, no, I really don't care for coleslaw that much because I don't like mayo or creamy
I guess that's true.
things. Yeah. So this time we're talking about Legend of Legaia. This was demanded by our backer, Jamie, who offered no comment whatsoever.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like an attempt to Trojan horse a WoF.
Yes, it does.
I don't mean that in an accusatory way. It's just like this seems like that kind of thing. And it's this is so weird thing. So playing this, I played a lot of this as a youngin, like tons of it. I played like I don't think I ever quite beat it, but I got to the end game of this
Okay.
when I was like 20.
Yeah, when you were 20 and had pica.
Yeah, when I was yeah, I had JRPG Pica when I was a kid, aka a 20-year-old man. I played this up until the end game, but I had forgotten about it entirely because I had that Pica. And
Yes.
I think I got it confused for Jade Cocoon. We've talked about that before, like getting Jade Cocoon and Azure Dreams, and kind of this like there's this weird like summer where I had played all of the like big name JRPGs and some of the lesser ones.
Yeah, yeah. There had to be something clinging to the side of the bottle. So you're going to do, exactly. This is JRPG Scrapins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It is right there with your Shadow Madness and such like that.
Yes, exactly. I would consider this to be a JRPG Scrapins. And looking at reviews of it, there's like a review that's like, a little bit above average JRPG. And I was like, that's about right. Like,
yeah,
this is kind of neat. It's less neat the more you think about it. And definitely the more you engage with it. Like when I stopped playing it as a kid, it was because I got bored. And that was before I got bored, like with these. And we'll talk about it, but there's like the thing of this that is purely stock standard, which is all of the story, plot, character, all that stuff. could not be more generic.
Right.
If it tried.
Yeah. To the point where like it is straight up just using mist as a thing in the world.
Yep. Yeah. There is mist. It's evil. You start out in a village, like all of that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's the kind of neat things, which are the magic and combat system, which are kind of neat early on. And then as you like get further into it, and this is something I think my subconscious knew as a kid when I quit, but I didn't figure out really until playing it now, is that it's not actually an interesting combat system. It's an interesting way of choosing options on a menu.
Yeah.
And that's what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
Like it's slightly more engaging, but it's only as engaging as if like to choose a magic spell or ability in one of the things in these games, you had to put in like fill out a combination lock.
Right.
And that's essentially what you're doing in this.
Yeah. And so coming to this for the first time in 2019, I looked at the special command entry kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that's just trial and error bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they will tell you about some, and maybe there will be, you know, some context clues in the environment that would tell you about like, hey, try pressing buttons in this order. But most of it just kind of seemed like wait for a random encounter and then try up, down, left, left instead of up, down, left, right.
Yeah. It's not like, I think some characters might teach you
mm-hmm.
other things. There's no clues in the environment. For the most part, I think that the idea is, you use the scrub encounters to try stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get added to your thing. And like, that's a selling point. It is trial and error horseshit. It's just something to do to like kind of discover.
Yes.
Stuff. But you don't have very many inputs. So mm-hmm. like, you eventually kind of get them all. And then eventually you look up a guide.
Yeah.
You know, to get the more powerful ones. So what it is like when you choose to fight in this game, you have a little action bar. That's how many commands you can put in. And these are combinations of directions
mm-hmm.
and button presses, and you dial those in. And if you, each of those will correspond to an attack. So you can just do like a little combo.
It's like high, low, left, right.
Yeah. Like little punch, punch, you know, low punch, high kick.
Yeah.
But you can also, if you put in certain combos, you'll do like moves, like Street Fighter style moves.
Yeah.
Like, you'll knee someone to the face, or you'll do like, kind of, you know, essentially martial arts moves.
Yeah.
In a way that is like a turn-based, like play by post Street Fighter almost.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
You dial in your combos and then they have the effect. They only do damage, and you're expected to do these. Like they're the minimum. So like what it essentially is that like you can either underperform drastically and get a little bit, be able to perform better the next round,
mm-hmm.
have a longer bar, or you just have some rote combinations you put in whenever you want to attack, you type in left, right, up, down. Every time you want to attack to do the most, you know, cost efficient to damage martial arts move that you have.
A modern game that has done this, if you've played it, is Lisa, the Painful RPG, has a similar combo input system for some of its characters.
Yep. And that's kind of it. And it's like, it feels like, oh, this is a world of possibility. Like I have this much more engaging battle system, but it's really just an engaging input system.
Right.
And that engagement does not last like so many things in the haunted genre. The thing that is neat is not neat for 40 to 60 hours.
Right.
You know, like that is just too wide of a bit of real estate for neat to cover,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then magic is a little bit different too. Like you get magic by killing a specific kind of monster, like whoever lands the killing blow,
mm-hmm.
has a chance to gain them as, it's like kind of a Pokemon, but it functions as a spell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I got to see precisely one instance of battle, because anytime we approach a JRPG for this, because every, you know, because most of the games in this genre start you out living the idyllic pastoral life. You know, so that they can burn that city down and send you on a quest. Most of my gameplay, most of my 40 minutes that I put in, was concerned with waiting for somebody to finish sewing me an outfit to go hunting in. It was following this person around the town, asking different people and talking to them multiple times to exhaust all their dialogue, waiting for them to pop up somewhere else, and then hearing people ask, do you like her? Yes, no, oh, you're hopeless. And then I did a combat tutorial on the beach.
Yeah. I think I was thinking about this too in terms of JRPGs have to stop starting in villages.
Yep.
And I like some modern ones do not, but even now you run into this.
Yeah.
And that as like just a trope of the genre, like you always start out with that so you can burn it down. Like is one of the things I feel like in this genre that violates a very basic storytelling principle, which is like start, you know, with a bang, like start as late into the action as you possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, and that just doesn't happen in the genre very often. Like start at like, give me one that starts in a dungeon.
Yep.
It doesn't, you, I'm sure you play it more recently than I am. Doesn't Wild Arms start in like an Indiana Jones kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I mean, you're doing some trap stuff or whatever.
Depending on the characters. There's one scenario where you like when you start as Rudy, you're kind of doing odd jobs in the village of Surf, but that very quickly puts you into a dungeon. Playing as Jack, that's the one that is like straight up an Indiana Jones. Kind of thing in a Trafeld dungeon. Then Cecilia, that's pretty boring. Or like you're in an village, abbey.
Yeah. It's a neat idea to start a little bit, you know, with some action.
Yeah, and you know, I think that might possibly be a you know thing that was carried over misguidedly from fantasy novels too. You know, think about Lord of the Rings, like, oh, we need to show how delightful the Shire is. So we have some kind of contrast when we get to the real danger.
And also, even just like D&D, like, you know, it's not like it's purely a JRPG thing. Like D&D, you meet in a tavern is the cliche thing. It just feels like fantasy novels have certainly moved beyond that.
Yes.
Like fantasy novels tend to have a little bit more action-y starts now, like modern successful ones. And like when I read like D&D modules, which I do, it's extremely rare that they don't begin with some kind of like pretty interesting instigation or like some kind of inciting incident that is you know a little bit faster paced. You know, and it is a slow paced genre. I get that you're supposed to just kind of soak in it. You know, and part of this is my specific hatred of soaking.
You know, it might also be kind of a misunderstanding, because as much as it is kind of common or accepted knowledge in a lot of, you know, places and for a lot of people that you start as late into the action as possible, there also is the notion that like drama is created when stasis meets antistasis. You have to establish a status quo, and then the drama is breaking it and then, you know, turning to a new one, right? But like that doesn't literally have to be Twilight Princess, I'm herding goats before I'm a shadow wolf kind of deal.
Yeah. It's an overvalued thing. It feels like the kind of thing that initially sounds really smart. Like it sounds very smart to say like, we have to establish this baseline. That's this. And I get part of it would be if the baseline, I mean, part of this is connected to a general quality of writing thing where like, just this village that I'm supposed to feel like is very idyllic and good is never full of charming or funny characters.
Right.
You know, like I went through this village segment in this and did not care that any of these people would die. You know, my character did, but it's like, it seems like life in this village is extremely, you know, stoic and boring.
Yeah.
You know, it would be cool. What would actually be kind of subversive is if you made that opening scene, like actually, you know, give me some of that. Like, I know we talk about this, but you know, that kind of like homey feeling, like that Geralt and Regis like chatting with each other.
Yeah.
Give me that quality of writing and then kill Regis.
Yep.
You know, like make me believe these relationships instead of these weird, you know, someone walking back and forth, and when you talk to them, they say, I guess the king lives in the castle, over and over and over. Right. It's like the level of abstraction for me to buy this as a stake is mm-hmm. just too high.
Yeah.
You know, now.
Yeah. So a mainstream JRPG that has done this really well, and it's kind of top of mind for me because I've recently started replaying it, is Final Fantasy XII, where the tutorial is literally like a siege on a fort, and then instead of showing you Rabanastra at its height, you know, it cuts to 2 years later and you are seeing the effects of the occupation, like, right away. Like, the occupation becomes the status quo.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, it's been a long time since I played that. I still don't remember that wandering around town section during the occupation being particularly, like, lively and interesting.
Yeah.
Primarily because your characters are so bad.
Right.
In it. But, like, you know, so I'm not saying that to, like, continue the Cold War, the Final Fantasy XII Cold War we've had for years.
Yeah.
Going, but, like, I just don't remember, and this is, it's been a long time since I played it, but I don't remember that having very much in the way of, like, a spark in terms of writing or character either. It's like the occupation is a more inherently interesting idea, but I still don't remember caring about that society
and I did, you know. It just it kind of might just come down to taste and pace preference kind of things as well,
and it might be if I played it again I would too. It's possible. So it's like I did play that the tail end of my Pika, and you know, it is possible I was overcorrecting. You know, so I mean, I never ended up beating that game. I got very far into it before I stopped.
Final Fantasy VII, starting on a morally questionable.
That's actually a great opening.
Yeah,
you know, like that game gets trashed a lot and stuff, but that opening of just like you're doing a terrorist attack in this very interesting. That's a great opening.
Yeah,
9, pretty good. Like, it's the charming version of it, but you're doing a kidnapping. You know, 8. Try some horseshit. I don't remember. Like,
eight is some horseshit. Like, you're in high school. Yeah. It starts with high school. Like, it's literally you start with the fight between you and Safer. That is done as a CGI. You wake up in the clinic, and then you're getting ready for your exam.
Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe less good.
Yeah,
but the there are examples of that do it well, even from this era.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot how good that opening is with Final Fantasy VII, as far as just like setting some drama.
Yeah,
you know, like it is just they do a good job with that. Ten almost does. Beginning with the blitzball thing, but then it's like, listen, buckle up for the next 15 hours, fella. Like, you're gonna pay for that fucking blitzball sin attack.
Beach excitement. Bums.
Yep, it's time to walk slowly down paths for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, but it is just that like opening on a thing on something big, and that's what this feels like it wants to do with the Dark Lord or whatever attacking.
Yeah.
It's just all that walking around and talking stuff beforehand is just really boring.
Yeah.
And like, yes, it's 25 minutes or something. It's not very much of the game by volume. It's just the first impression,
though. Yeah.
You know, before you get to this combat system, which again, also good first, like this is the opposite, it's like good first impression and kind of bad tail.
Yeah.
You know, and there are only 3 characters in this, and the way that they differentiate them. Another thing that I think is like, this is armchair design stuff, so it only kind of counts. But like, the way they designate your caster is they have a shorter bar, but they don't have anything. They're a caster, but that's the only thing that everyone can cast.
Yeah.
So everyone, you know, it can get magic from these things. Some people are more suited to it than others, but not necessarily because of the strength of the spells, but because they're less able to fight. Like, there's not a bespoke mechanic that replaces it. You know, it would be cool if that person was like, could cast 2 spells at once, or, you know, had a magic version of this where they could like combo different, you know, I think they're called Cirrus, combo different Cirrus into each other, something like that. Like, it just needs a little bit more. Like, obviously needs a lot better like story and writing, but then also needs a little bit more of these mechanics for this to be much more, to my mind, than just above average.
And also, but like another thing that kind of turns me off, why is it a full 3D world? Why is it full 3D characters? Like, in battle, I was a little bit surprised by how good the full 3D characters looked. At least the ones that I saw, I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's pretty impressive modeling and texture work. It is not necessarily an embarrassment of Doritos morphing into each other. It actually does look pretty good, but like, there's no excuse. Like, there's no reason to have a full 3D world in a PS1 game.
It looks really muddy.
Yeah.
there are two pieces before we move on from the Legend of Legaia Tite 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are two pieces of game facts stuff.
Yes.
That I found. Did you find any game facts stuff?
I found a handful. There's a lot of activity on this. Very active board. Lots of facts.
Mm-hmm.
Little yeah, full, it's a popular lots of game. Sap. Yeah.
Yep. The two things I had were the review by Court Sether. Which is not buying Legalia is the biggest mistake that someone can make.
I sold my baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Nope. That's it. Like, yeah, but did you buy Legalia? this was in 2006. So it's like, you know, 7 years after the buy date
right.
of Legalia. And it's pretty straight paced as like a review. Mm-hmm. But it's many, many words. It's like a couple thousand words.
Hmm.
And it is, there's no irony in that. This is the biggest mistake. Like it is makes all other RPGs pale in comparison to this masterpiece. Graphics are beautiful. The story is a 10. Characters are 9. Bosses are 10 plus. Has the greatest bosses in any game whatsoever.
Yeah.
Sound is a 10. Gameplay is perfect. The mini games and side quests are a 10. The challenge is a 10. It is rent or buy. You must buy. You won't even be able to finish Legaia in a week. There are many secrets, many things to get the full experience. 5 out of 5, flawless. So it is just somebody who's very excited, but it's like, my dude, like this is a lot.
Yeah. No, that leads into something else, which is on the message board, there is a topic, and I see this from time to time, and I have to wonder if it is one of the most sorrowful thoughts that can enter a human mind, which is why isn't the main character of this game in place like Sony All-Star Classics or whatever?
Yeah,
PlayStation All-Stars, whatever Bond the Sony Smash Brothers is. Yeah. It's just like, do you think that Vaughn or whatever his name is will be added to Sony All-Stars? Like, oh please, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty sad.
It's like a kid asking his mom if the goldfish will wake up.
Yeah. But it's not even a goldfish because it's Sony All-Stars.
Oh yeah.
Like it's this game no one's ever played. It's like, you know, will my ferret or something. Like it's got some kind of weird compromise, like will my pet rock wake up? Like it's a kid with a dead pet rock.
Oh no.
The other thing that I found is on the miscellaneous fact by Dan GC, and this is if this was the first time we ever found this, it would have been the home run.
Uh-huh.
This is the most extensive don't copy my work thing
yeah
I've ever seen. And it's five or six paragraphs, starts off very normally. You know, it does say like you can change it as long as you put this disclaimer there,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty weird. Like, I don't know, it's supposed to be may not be altered, but you can change this as much as you want. He doesn't own it. Magazines don't take this from me. And then it becomes kind of weird. If I see any facts with information from mine, like I update my fact with a lot of new stuff. And then another fact for mm-hmm. Legend of Legaia is updated 1 or 2 days afterwards and has the same new stuff. I'm going to tell Jay. And your facts will be deleted. I already saw one fact like that, and I'm getting awfully suspicious. One day after I updated this fact,
we're all writing about the same game.
Some fact was sent in with the information in this fact. Then I updated again, and guess what? That fact was updated one day afterwards again with the new information I put in. The author is probably plagiarizing, or maybe not, but it looks awfully suspicious with similar information from this fact. I'm going to keep looking at that fact, and once I have proof, that fact is going down. Don't plagiarize. It's stupid and proves that you are stupid and can't think of your own stuff. Even if the author of that fact isn't plagiarizing, he/she is still stealing information from my fact. You can at least ask. The only thing allowed would be to print this document for personal or private use. Okay. If you have WordPad, save this document somewhere, open up WordPad, go to page setup or something like that, and then change the margins to left 1 inch, right 0.3. Bottom 0.4, top 0.4. This will prevent some paper usage. Also, you should change the font if you can tolerate it and make major changes. If not, take out unnecessary things like this section here, the disclaimer, and the beginning with the author information.
Okay.
Below this place, updates, just a few tips for you people.
But if I cut out this disclaimer, print this thing out, and I take it to school and I leave it on a bus bench or something like that,
yep.
and you find it, you're going to send somebody to kill me.
You're going to take it me.
Yeah.
Here's the author information on Dan GC. No website. Website's under construction. His quote is from Xenogears, of course. "You're funny, but keep it up and you'll piss me off," which is something that Fi says from Xenogears.
Okay.
And then his own quote that he gave himself is, "Don't plagiarize. It's bad. Always give credit where it's due. Yo, people of the world," parentheses, "who email me, sorry about what I say. It's just that many of the things people ask or tell me are things I already know, so I have to set people straight. Or things people ask me are very stupid and seem very obvious to understand slash do. But I have decided to thank some people for things I already know just to be respectful. Besides, sometime in April, I beat this game 4 times just to see all the endings. So don't think I don't know where obvious items are, because I do know." So thanks, Dan.
Yeah. I found something that is similarly aggro. This is a fact slash walkthrough by Tricky. Okay. And at the bottom, he gives kind of guidelines for if you are going to write in to me. Let's hear, fix your English. Some people say they hardly hear the difference between me and an English speaking fellow. Like, oh. Just like he did. So, okay, cool, fine. You suck in leveling up. I know, I'm a real RPG player. I don't waste my time hours of leveling up. He's just telling people what not to write him. Hey, idiot, fix your fact. Like, yeah, all these things are really bad things, but you can just kind of ignore them too. That's fine too.
Yeah.
Oh man, did you see while I get that other one queued up, did you see the game script that if you printed it out would come to 246 pages?
No, that's long.
Yeah, it's long. And I have to imagine that there is a lot of painstaking work, because it is it includes all of the different options, like if you select a different prompt at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And it breaks down even just incidental dialogue from like shopkeepers and stuff. So that's, somebody painstakingly transcribed this entire thing.
That's quite a bit, actually. I need to remember that this script exists for Duckstream.
Yes.
Because there's surprisingly few game scripts. There's like 2 people did it. Did you see that? There's the one you did, but then T Batard decided to try to take a stab at it.
Yeah. The other one, Legend of Legaia, fact and walkthrough by Rangotti.
Okay.
That was not the person that you said, right?
No.
Okay, good. Cool. Because at the bottom, Rangotti, in this Legend of Legaia fact, you know, post thanks and all of that, decided just to list a few different quotes that he feels are applicable to his life and Legend of Legaia, maybe.
It begins with one as well. The very first thing this fact has is, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious" by Albert Einstein. And in the end, he had to get out some more of his Bartlett's.
Yeah. He is able who thinks he is able, from the Buddha, you know. Yeah, sure. You got more Albert Einstein here. "The most beautiful thing." Oh, there we go. That was the same one. Sorry.
Yep. Sorry to him. Like, yeah. he did it.
"Enjoy life. There's plenty of time to be dead. Unknown." Yeah. So he just wanted to put in a few little affirmations, just in case you got to the end of his fact and thought, well,
somebody
what is
might
this?
Need some wisdom.
What's that?
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody might need some wisdom.
Yeah.
These are all ones that look like live, laugh, hope.
Yep.
Things. Like, all of these.
Yes.
Are that. Like, he essentially put a fucking Pottery Barn at the bottom of his fag. It's like an entire Pottery Barn here. "If you can imagine it, you can achieve it. If you can dream it, you can become it."
it is nothing but posters on Gadden's counselor walls.
Yeah, this is pretty incredible. It's all the things he learned from Legend, from painfully typing out that the first shop that appears in Seoul after you clear the mist has War God plate for 28,000 GP, Expert Armor for 200 GP, Steel Boots for 18,000 GP, the Holy Claw for 17,000. Like, it's very weird when anything like this that matters at all gets butted up against video games.
Yes.
Like, that's like 100 words after the fact that from Conchrom, you can buy the Chaos Breaker for 32,000 GP. Yep. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah, and if you do a search on Rangotti, this is the only thing that they have contributed. So
it seems like it takes years, to get all that wisdom.
I know. I mean, like, people live entire lifetimes without cracking those nuts.
Yeah, like I don't want to die without knowing how to turn my to-do list into a to-day list.
Oh man, but yeah, no, nothing else. So I wanted to see, you know, what I want to know and what I feel robbed of is if Rangati made a fac for Legend of Dragoon, would there be a different set of quotes at the bottom?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I imagine this is just how he signs off.
Okay,
you know, this is the, like he has to set. These are like reverse. You know, saying hi.
Yes.
For him. AKA goodbye. But yeah.
Oh.
Special stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. That's about all I got on the old Legend of Legaia.
Yeah, same. We're a little bit short on time.
Yeah, not super short though.
Yeah. I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah. I have a skin tag under my eyelid now, or on my eyelid.
Oh God, sorry. I'm sorry. Under, okay. I mean, different.
It is under in terms of like closer to the earth, closer to Gaia, but
yeah,
not under as in beneath, closer to my eye.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the very important distinction because the first thing you described sounded like you got to remove half your face now. Yeah.
Yeah. This is already pretty annoying. Yeah. I've never had one before. I guess it's just a thing that happens.
Mm.
But yeah. Apparently they're very common.
Yeah.
And it's just something that I will just have to either live with or I have to go into a dermatologist and be like, this like absolutely, you know, smaller than the head of a pin little thing that you can barely see, but nonetheless bothers me.
Uh-huh.
Can you laser this off?
That is, freeze this with nitrogen and use a tiny hammer to crack it?
Yeah. Can you put some nitrogen next to my eye? Like the options I have for getting rid of this are terrifying and weird.
Yes. So you can probably live with it.
I think I'm just going to go with it. But when I first saw it, I've never had one of these before and it was pale. Cause it's like, usually they're kind of, you know, closer to skin tone, but this one is paler because it's under my eyelid, or on my eyelid. So I thought it was a pimple.
You're trying to get a pimple. Pop it. Yeah.
Well, it's too small to like pop, but I tried to like drag my nail across it, you know, to just kind of make it, and that hurt. And it's like day two now after that, and it's still a little tender.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I like damage it or if that will go away or what, but that's like really weird. It feels a little bit like my eye is irritated kind of at all times.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's not my favorite thing. So I might end up going to, but it's like a cosmetic surgery. Like I had to go to my doctor and then they would refer me to it. And I don't, how much does it cost for him to like get out a fucking laser beam?
I don't know.
And do this. Like, it feels like it's not going to be a good use of money.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I got some midway through last year or something or other. I got pink eye, you know, I got an eye infection, which happens to me more than I would like. And I think that by admitting that I am, kind of, it feels like I am saying I get shit in my eye more often than people
sure.
do, but I
like you admit getting a ringworm or something.
Right. Yeah. But you know, it happens to me. I understand people who have allergies get it more just because you end up rubbing your eyes more
sure.
stuff oh, like yeah. that. Yeah. And so, you know, it was a particularly bad, case of pink eye. But then afterwards I noticed that my eye just kept on getting irritated and I was looking at it. I was like, what's going on? It turns out that if you get a particularly bad eye infection, the eyelashes on that eye's lid, because of the swelling and stuff, just kind of get put off true a little bit. And so now on my left eye, my eyelashes, if I do not like, you know, take care to push them up and kind of like try to guide them, they will just kind of grow and point directly into the skin of my eye.
That sucks.
Yeah. So imagine like you have a, you know, cowlick in your hair, you know, like, oh yeah, no, I've got a cowlick on my eyelid.
That's a real bummer.
Yeah. Which is also something that a dermatologist or somebody has to cure with a laser.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still have, you know, this is an abject suffering classic.
Yeah.
But I still have that bump on the back of my eye.
Oh yeah.
I talked about a long time ago, like that didn't go away or anything. Mm. The doctor, I went in a bunch to get checked out and they eventually just said like, I'm not worried about this. Let us know if it changes. But there's a lump on the back of my eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't remember which episode I talked about that in, but I'm sure I've talked about it on here. But yeah, like it's fucking weird that things can happen to your eye. It feels like, you know, the same way that like in a gentleman sport, you can be like, okay, no, you know, no nut shots.
Yeah.
Like if there was a God, we'd have a contract. We'd be like, don't fuck with our eyes, dude.
Yeah. It's
you know,
it's
like
real
how
tender.
About no eye diseases?
Yeah.
You know, like That's dirty pool, old man. You know, just like, how about nothing in the eyes? Like, I understand you have to give people dick cancer, but like, don't fuck up our eyes, you know?
Yeah, it is a universal human aspect. Like, safe zone, right?
DMZ. I will not spit in your eye if you do not fucking do anything to my eye.
Yeah, we can talk about motes and beams as long as it is metaphorical, sir. Please.
Yes. For the love of your son.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's Legend of Gaia.
Can
you remind me who suggested this?
This was suggested by a person named Jamie.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. Yeah, thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always good. It's always good to be, exposed to some of these. I kind of wrote this off because of its era and because of its ilk. Nice to look at least how they were differentiated. It's to understand how one game with a blue haired person on the cover would be different than another game with a blue haired person on the cover.
Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of diversity there.
Yep.
So we really do appreciate it. If you would like to suggest a game, you can go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
On our serving website. If you'd like to demand a game, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and get on the tier that allows you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
If you want bonus episodes of this or back episodes, you can donate at a lower tier. On that, we are actually, there's the way that we changed our dictation thing means people dip in and out of it, but we're actually pretty close to our next milestone goal.
Yeah.
So we might have a new show for, that comes out of that as a result of this as well. So it's an exciting time. Where we're doing a bunch of cool extra stuff and we're happy to have you along and really appreciate your support.
Yeah. It means an awful lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, Gary, did you know that this was designed by the person who made Paladin's Quest?
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense. Paladin's Quest also has like a system that on the surface sounds really interesting and is in reality not.
Yeah. I figured I'd bring that up because you talk about that being the example of Pika.
The Pika.
Yeah.
Yep. The JRPG Pika. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So until next time.
Who is Fog Dog? Sorry, Mist Dog?
Zufog?
Yeah, who is Zufog?